Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about the price of forgiveness. In the last few times, we've talked about love's price tag and about surrender. And if there's nothing else that I succeed in doing in these few minutes that we have together, I would certainly hope and I pray with all my heart that the Lord will enable me to point you to Jesus Christ Himself. That's what this program is about. It's not about Elizabeth Elliot, God forbid. It's about Jesus Christ. But I hope that I can help you to see that He is your friend, that He is the one who wants to be the companion of your days, of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of your life. And knowing Jesus Christ affects everything in one's life. I really mean that with all my heart. And so, if I'm going to talk to you about the price of forgiveness, the first thing that I want you to think about is the price of Christ's forgiveness. We talked about the price that God has paid because He loves us. He gave His only Son to die for us. The price of His surrender. What was that? He put Himself in the hands of wicked men. Can you imagine the Prince of Life, the Lord of the universe, putting Himself helplessly in the hands of evil men and being nailed to a cross? And now we think of the price of His forgiveness. While He was hanging there on the cross, with the nails driven through His hands and the crown of thorns on His head, His prayer was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." If Jesus was forgiving His killers while He was hanging there on the cross, then God was forgiving them, wasn't He? Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. God was forgiving them. Are we followers of Jesus? If we are, then we are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Do you suppose that missionaries ever have to forgive one another? Missionaries, aren't they supposed to be the most spiritual giants in the world? Well, I used to be one myself, one of those missionaries, very far from a spiritual giant. And perhaps even more than in other situations, missionaries find the need for forgiveness. Because one of the occupational hazards of being a missionary is that you are forced to work with and live with people that you might never in the world choose as your friends under ordinary circumstances. You get assigned to a certain station and assigned to a certain job, and you not only have to work with those people, but very often have to live with them, maybe even in the same house, and you may be the only people that speak English in that whole area. You are foreigners, and so you are isolated and thrown together. Recently, I had a letter from a missionary about this subject of forgiveness, and it's an eloquent letter, another one that I just feel as though I want to share with you. She said she was sorry that she hadn't written to me sooner, and I certainly understand the impossibility of missionaries keeping up with their correspondence, so she needn't have apologized for that, but she said, "If I had written a month ago, I would have asked questions about forgiveness, about coping with injustice from fellow Christians, about appropriate indignation, seeking some loophole through which to turn from loving. Think of that phrase. I would have asked questions about forgiveness, seeking some loophole through which to turn from loving. A time of crushing seemed too severe, and I wanted to know the proper means of protest. Today, some answers have come, ones which no doubt you yourself would have given me. You have, in fact, written about humus. That word humus is the word from which we get the word humus, that good, rich soil loam that you use for your garden. It's also the word from which we get the word humility. Humus is something that can be walked on. Amy Carmichael wrote a poem, "We are too high, Lord Jesus. Make of us something like the low green moss, a quiet thing before thee, cool for thy feet, sore wounded on the cross. Would you mind if Jesus walked all over you?" Most of us would say no, we wouldn't mind that. And yet when somebody else does, we withhold forgiveness from them. In this country, where the missionary works that wrote me this letter, humus is the name of a sauce made of ground-up chickpeas, mashed beyond recognition. In the blender, I'm sure there is no petitioning to change the process. The sauce is made no other way. The peas have no voice. She goes on to say, "For me, the same hand that scourged and purified to heal made me able to nourish another. The caked-on sin needed the severest scraping, and my true soul exposed beneath, that is, made in his image, virtually leaped as a child into communion with the Father. Thy hand has done this," could be said in a deep gratitude rather than in protest. And no words can describe the liberation. Pride can be an exhausting business. Rage chokes every avenue of giving and receiving love. I've reread Creation in Christ by George MacDonald, she says, "and suddenly I saw that embracing the offender was a precious privilege, not a sullen act of obedience. There's a desire to preserve the life and the soul of the offender, rather than to punish, for underneath the retorts that destroy the speaker more than the hearer is an enormous amount of affection, the true self asking for recognition and love." Have you ever discovered that pride can be an exhausting business? Have you experienced rage choking every avenue of giving and receiving love? Well, I certainly have. And I have not always, by any means, seen embracing the offender as a precious privilege. It has been nothing but a sullen act of obedience sometimes in my life. But I was greatly helped by this letter from my friend. I was encouraged by the fact that she had a desire to preserve the life and soul of the offender. I thought of someone who has offended me, and of that sneaky, unspoken desire to punish, to see that person apologize. But she says, underneath the retorts that destroy the speaker more than the hearer is an enormous amount of affection, the true self asking for recognition and love. A lengthy time of humbling and of verbal confession unleashed Christ's presence among us, she says. Obedience removed the dragon's skin which was weighing us down for years. There was at once rest and power flowing from the long-avoided acts of humiliation. If I'm speaking to someone today who has long been avoiding an act of humiliation, apology, and forgiveness, may I encourage you to allow Christ's presence to come in and give you his rest and his power to forgive. Forgiveness is a grace. It's not something that we can do by ourselves. But Christ stands ready to present you with all the grace that you're willing to receive, so that you in turn can present that grace of forgiveness to someone else. The life of Jesus insists on loving, and still goes on invading our lives, still delivering us from bondage to hate, still offering us supernatural love and forgiveness. As soon as she was relieved of that huge burden of anger and revenge, she said she wanted to run into the streets and tell these people to whom she was supposed to be ministering, God is. He loves you. Your enemy is your brother. The price of forgiveness, does it seem high? Does it seem more than you can possibly give at this point? But look at the rewards. Look at the freedom and the liberation. We're just sinners, aren't we? Sinners saved by grace. We have sinned against so many who have forgiven us. Let's not cherish the resentment. It will eat you like a cancer. It can actually make you sick. Jesus Christ is mighty to save because he is perfect in love. Will you come to him for forgiveness and ask him to help you to forgive that other person?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.